Father, again, we just celebrate life in your Son, Jesus. We celebrate your involvement and your goodness and just enjoying living because of you involved and us, you knowing us, and we can know you, and it's so good. And so this morning, Father, lean forwards and whisper into our ears, into our spirit. Share with us your love story. Share with us, Father, the way forwards. And as you help us to be established in your Son, Jesus, as you help us to be able to live as children, as your children, as your incredible children. So we thank you for truth that you give to us, that empowers us, that brings us alive, that just is so active within us that we are able to just know you even more and be so rooted in your Son. So thank you for that. We pray for our nation. Pray for the body of Christ in this nation, that by your Holy Spirit this morning, you will also just lean forwards and just speak into the very hearts of your family throughout this nation, that there will be a stirring and awakening and just a quickening taking place within each one in the revelation of your Son Jesus. So we thank you for, in a sense, the army, your family rising up, this incredible freedom in you, Jesus, walking with you throughout the land, wherever you've placed us, bringing life wherever we go. So we want to thank you for the incredible life of your Holy Spirit that you've given to us, so that people can experience you, but also we as your children can know how real you are. So we want to celebrate you, Jesus, this morning, and we want to just give you the praise and glory for everything that you have done for us. Amen. Amen. Good. Okay, guys, we're going to go where we sort of we've been looking a little bit here at Romans chapter 8, and we are spending a little time. It's like almost there's a the Holy Spirit has sort of said, just we need to be established in something before we can experience a deeper fullness of Romans chapter 8. And it's really about being established in our starting point. You know, when Jesus, as I often share this, when Jesus speaks about when he asks his disciples, who do the people say they are? He is. And they answered, And Jesus says, no, but who do you say? And Simon said, this is who you are. And Jesus said, this is a revelation that the Father has given you. And Jesus continues to build his church, us, based on the revelation that the Father gives concerning who Christ Jesus is. And that's why our starting point is always for you and I to be established in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we actually see that, for instance, in Colossians. Let me just get you that one over there. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 over here. Let me just go down a little bit. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And here we can see the reality of having a starting point in Christ Jesus, being established in him, rooted in him. And so we are starting to live in this truth. And this is a truth that we are starting to live more and more. I think far more than what we've ever lived before. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so as our Father has been sharing with us his good news concerning his Son Jesus Christ and opening up the reality of what the good news is all about, and now we're beginning to see that the whole gospel, the good news, is concerning his Son Jesus, and we receive the good news by faith, believing in His Son Jesus. And so the full benefits of salvation, the reality of salvation, the power of the gospel, we receive through Christ Jesus. And so as we, you and I, as we whatever we do, whether in word or deed, as we do it in the name of Jesus by faith, we're now beginning to live in the reality of the power of the gospel like we haven't lived before. So Paul puts it another way, and he says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live by faith in Christ Jesus. And that's the same thing. We are learning to, whatever we do, we start our day, we enter into our day with a conscious sort of awareness. Today, I'm entering into this day, into this Sunday, in the name of Jesus Christ. And in that faith reality, you're pressing into the power of the gospel. You're pressing into the centrality of the cross of Christ, in the finished work of Jesus, in his resurrection and his life and everything. And so that's our starting point all the time. I think more of us can begin to say we're finding ourselves more, we're not tossed from this way to that way anymore. We're far more stable because we're being rooted in our Lord Jesus Christ, as God has been sharing with us about his incredible good news as he opens up the gospel for you and I. So that's where sort of what's happening right now in our lives. And I think most of us will be able to testify and witness to this. Now in Romans chapter 8, I want to just share a little bit of here, and then we're going to go back to John 14 and then to Galatians 3 to tie up something that Father wants to impart to us today and set us free from sort of formulas concerning the name of Jesus and enable us to live in the life, in the reality of what that entails. Okay, and so I think there's so much more that our Father will open up to us, but now it's like a just being established, a little bit more revelation that He's giving to us as His children. And so in Romans chapter 8, I'm going to just read over here from verse 9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, okay, but are in the realm of the Spirit. And why this is important, because when we go to John 14 again, remember, that is all about Jesus living in the realm of the Spirit and that incredible relationship with the Father and with Him, and with the Father and the Son. It's all because Christ is living in the realm of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in Him, and that relationship is a reality because of the Holy Spirit. So He's showing us how children of God lives. Okay, the reality of what it is to be a child of God. And that's what He's busy showing us and teaching us over here. That's why we need a starting point to be established what it is to be a child of God. And this is why Romans 8 is important. And then he goes on and he says over there, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Remember, Jesus promised when we believe in what He's, who He is, as God made Christ real to you and I, and we were fully persuaded that Christ is real, there's no doubt, and we just simply believed, we received the Spirit of God. Okay. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, they do not belong to God. So in other words, we have the Spirit of God, therefore we belong to God. Okay. We belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, And even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. And so here we see the incredible reality of what is taking place because Christ's Spirit lives within us. The Spirit that gives life is living within us. We belong to Christ. We are a children of God. And therefore, in verse 12, we'll look at that some other time, not this morning. Verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Okay? The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And there's a lot in here, but I'm not going into much detail over here. I just want to emphasize the fact over here that because we have received the Holy Spirit, our starting point to live on a day-to-day basis is the fact that we are his children. His Spirit is in us, and we are led by the Spirit of God. We're living in the realm of the Holy Spirit, and we are being more and more established and rooted in the reality of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the good news, in who he is, what he has done, etc. And the Holy Spirit is taking us and helping us to be so rooted in that over there. And so we are living our life in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and we're understanding a little bit more of that there. So when we say in the name of Jesus, because we're in him, and our life is in him, he lives in us. And so we're living, and that's becoming real. And that's why the miraculous, the fruitfulness, the victory, the power over sin and all that thing, all that stuff, we're finding there. It's Christ is the answer, and there's a freedom, and we're experiencing a tremendous freedom. And as I shared there, we're finding that we are not tossed backwards and forwards anymore. We can hear this news, and that's fine. We are far more mature. We are solid. We are rooted. We've got confidence in God. We know him more. He's real to us, and we can go into the tomorrow because of who he is, and we are his children. Okay, and so the Holy Spirit is emphasizing that, and so that's why, as we shared some time back, the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are his God's children, and we've been adopted into the family of God, and by him we cry out, Abba, Father, and that's an important truth over there. But this morning, I'd like us to go to John chapter 14, because everything that I've just shared, Jesus taught that here in John 14, and Paul there in Galatians chapter 4 and also in this Romans chapter 8, Paul is just writing down what Jesus is actually speaking about over here, about the whole adoption, about sonship, about children of God and so forth. And so, here in John chapter 14 and verse 9, Jesus answered, because Philip had asked the question, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. And so, Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Now, that's important for you and I, because Because today he wants to set us free from formulas when it comes to praying for miracles, when it comes to praying for the sick or whatever the case may be. Because it's easy to use the name of Jesus without any faith. It's just a formula. And now he's showing us, Jesus is showing us how it works when we ask in the name of Jesus, when we ask in his name. It's a Father at work, okay? And yeah, we see over there, because the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is a Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe in the evidence of the works himself. Notice the framework all the time. Jesus is speaking about his heavenly Father. So he's showing us how a son lives in the family of God. He's showing us the reality of the involvement of our heavenly Father within us as his children, as his sons and his daughters. This is what Jesus is teaching us over here. This is that oneness that he prays for in John 17, that we may be one just as he and the Father is one, okay? So that the world will know that that the Father has sent his son Jesus. And so here's a starting point. Here's something that you and I receive. You and I, the Holy Spirit testifies to our spirit, but Jesus, just as your relationship with the Father, exactly now, because your spirit that was in you that made this a reality is in us, because we've been reborn. We've been born by your spirit. Your spirit is in us. And so now we've been adopted into your family. So the same reality, the same relationships, the dynamics of the Father in you working, it's in us as well. The Father is in us. You and the Father are in us by the Holy Spirit working within us. And fulfilling and doing what you're wanting to do. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in other words. And so this, that's why Paul writes that we are no longer slaves to fear. We're no longer slaves to, anything that pertains to, works, pertains to, have I done enough? Am I good enough? And all that stuff that brings fear into our lives. No, we've been adopted into the family. That's the reality of the gospel of God, the good news of our Father. We're his children in his son, Jesus. His son has died for us. And now we have received the incredible reality of his spirit within us. And so we're his children. And then he carries on. Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I speak, say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me, doing his works. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe in the evidence of the works themselves. And sometimes just in our own lives, we need to pause and just to look at things in our lives that we cannot explain, because we need to see the Father at work in us. Look at the fruit. Look at the evidence of our lives. Look at the evidence of the provisions. Look at the evidence of protection. Look at the evidence of so much, just to see this truth of the Father's work that is manifesting in our lives and around us. And then he carries on and he says, verse 12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that my Father may be glorified in the Son, and you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And here we started speaking about this a few weeks back, but it's a truth now that whatever we say, whatever we do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is such an incredible promise, and it's not just a promise for hopeful living. This is part of the good news. This is how Jesus lived as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. This is how Jesus lived. And he's saying to you and I, this is how children of God live. This is our reality. This is our starting point. We have got so much in our mind of past experiences, of past failures, of formulas, and you name it over there, of coming in the name of Jesus, trying to get all this stuff to become a reality, what Jesus is speaking about over here. And it hasn't worked, or just by grace has worked in small degrees in a sense. But now there's a faith explosion taking place. There's a power explosion taking place. There's a truth explosion taking place. There's a love explosion taking place. And this is a key verse, a key revelation that our Father is giving to us to be able to know now, simply by the fact that we have been born again and His Spirit is in us, Jesus is modeling how you and I live. He's modeling sonship. He's modeling child of God. And so he says over here, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that my Father may be glorified in the Son. And as we looked at in Romans chapter 8 there, we who are in the realm of the Spirit, we who have got the Spirit of Christ in what's taking place, our desires, we desire the things of the Spirit. So that which is on the Holy Spirit's mind is what we desire. And so when we're praying in the name of Jesus, or let's not use the word praying, as we communicate with God, because we begin our day in the name of Jesus, we're living in the name of Jesus, and it's a communication with God throughout the day with a conscious reality. I'm speaking in the name of Jesus. So what I'm asking the Father, what takes place more and more, there is that the natural fruit of the life of the Holy Spirit is that more and more our desires are in line with the mind of the Holy Spirit. We desire the Spirit's desires. We're living in that. And so when we are asking these things to our Father, we know that our Lord Jesus will be the one who's doing it. Who's doing it? You see, he wants to free us from our own efforts of trying to perform miracles. And that he wants to free us from trying to use a formula for God to do a miracle. And that this is a faith reality. This is a reality of being a child. This is the natural consequences of being a child of God. So whatever we ask now in the name of Jesus, we ask him because our desire, we want God to be glorified in his Son, Jesus Christ, because that's a fruit, that's a natural fruit of the Holy Spirit working within us as we live in the power of the gospel, and we're experiencing that life of the Spirit working in us, and that's a reality. And so you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So all of a sudden, the pressures of us what did verse 12 say? Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes, that's our part in this there. It's that simple faith. We just simply believe. We are fully persuaded. This is what the Father is helping us. He's persuading us now that what Jesus is teaching is our absolute truth, not the absolute truth just for the disciples so many years ago. It's for us today as well. And so by the Spirit, we are being fully persuaded that this is our reality. This is our absolute truth. Now we just simply receive this. And then because we believe this, now we start to practice it. We walk in this. We live in this with a faith now that, Father, what I'm asking you over here about this, I want to thank you that, that Jesus, you're going to do this. Because Father, you're going to be glorified in your Son in the manifestation of this, because you are at work in your Son, and the evidence of that work brings glory to you. And the same with us now. You and your Son are in us by the Holy Spirit. And as we're asking, and our desire is now for you to be glorified in your Son, Jesus' desire is for you to be glorified, Father. And that's the reality. And I'm asking that our desires are in line more and more with the Father's desires. And now you will find there's an authority, there's an effectiveness, there's a fruitfulness of understanding how to live in the reality of whatever we say, whatever we do, we're doing it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This, as I say, this we cannot work on. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Our job is to live by the Spirit. Is to believe. Our part is by the Holy Spirit to put to death the misdeeds of the flesh, etc., the sins of the flesh. That's our part, is by faith to walk in the truth of the Holy Spirit, renew our mind, make a decision to walk in the Spirit, and all the time we're finding the power of the gospel at work in our lives. Okay, and so here we see Jesus, and that's why we're going to go to an example now, but in verse 16, still in John 14, and I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you and will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. So here we see now what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 concerning the Spirit of Christ within us. Yeah, this is the truth that he's expounding and that he's taking from Jesus. And he says over there, I will not leave you as orphans. Why? Because by the Spirit, we've been adopted into the family of God. By the Spirit, we testify, we cry out, Abba, Father. So he will not leave us as orphans because the Holy Spirit lives in us. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. Praise God for that. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me. So exactly what Jesus has been speaking about there in the first verses there in John 14. Now he's saying when the Holy Spirit comes, as I'm living with the Father in me, and I'm in the Father, now when the Spirit comes, that's it. It's the same deal. The Father and I and you in us, and the same reality of the Holy Spirit, the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will do. I will do it because it brings glory to my Father. Sons are led by the Holy Spirit. Okay? And that's what the reality is that we're looking at over here. And so, as we continue over here, let me just go another verse quickly before we look at some other verses. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them, this is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. And there's other scriptures that I can bring and share with you over there. But I want to go to this one in Galatians chapter 3. And you may say, are we ever going to get away from this chapter? But he has a key. Listen to this. Let me, after that long introduction there of Romans and John and the example Jesus is showing us how a child lives, as a son and daughter of God lives. And that same, this is good news, guys. This is good news because we're not ground bound anymore. You see, we're understanding what it is now to be citizens of heaven. We're understanding what it is that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. This is all our life that we are starting to live more and more. And that's why we live our day in the name of Jesus. Whatever we do, whatever we say, we're doing it in his name. And whatever we're doing in his name, guess what? Jesus is answering that. And the Father is being glorified. And so our lives are becoming more fruitful because this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit as you abide in me. Okay? The same words, if you abide in me, it's another word of what we've just read there in John chapter 14. It's another word of just living in the reality of whatever I do, I'm doing it in the name of Jesus. Because your conscience, it's no longer we who live, but it's Christ who lives in us. It's all the same thing, just in so many different ways that the writers have written for us to try and get the understanding and a better picture and deeper revelation of life in Christ Jesus, the new creation man. And so here in Galatians, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Now, I don't have time, but the history behind this is very important because of the understanding of circumcision. Circumcision, remember with Abraham, circumcision is dealing with covenant and that it's the sign of a covenant. And so here we have Jews coming that they might have believed in Christ Jesus, we don't know, but they're saying, no, you can't just simply believe. You've got to be circumcised because circumcision is about covenant. And to be a child of God, you need to be circumcised because that's covenant from Abraham time onwards over there. And so this is a big deal. And I can understand why these folk were saying, no, Jesus, yes, but you've got to add this circumcision on because you cannot just be saved by faith alone in Christ Jesus. No, we've got to do this and that. And not understanding the new covenant and that. So all of this is the background of what Paul is busy addressing here in Galatians. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. So he goes back to the centrality of our Lord Jesus Christ because it's the power of God for salvation. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard? Okay, so he asks you and I today, did we receive the Holy Spirit? And by him we cry, Abba, Father, that you and I receive the Holy Spirit that brings in the reality of the relationship with the Father and with the Son, makes that relationship very real. And it's alive, it's tangible. We live in the reality of that there, because we simply believed, or because we did a whole lot of works to be able to earn the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, so he's dressing that over there. So did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, or by believing by what you heard? Are you so foolish? After begetting by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? And then he came. This is the reality of God's way of doing things. And so he's freeing us from any formulas of how to pray for the sick. He's freeing us from any formulas of what we've got to do in order for someone to receive a miracle. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. You see, our starting point is normally when it comes to, say, the miracle reality is we go to that place where the disciples couldn't cast the demon out. And Jesus says this comes from prayer and fasting. And that's most of our starting point. That's not the correct starting point. The correct starting point is what Christ has done. Okay? And simply believing in that. That's our starting point. And then from there, we get led to whatever way we must go. But our starting point is not about how I need to go and pray and fast because of those human efforts. Now we're going to get authority and power to go and pray and cast the demons out. No, because again, then we fall into this trap. When Jesus says go and pray and fast, we go and pray and fast. But that starting point is simply believe in the power of his death and resurrection. The reality of the cross, what he has done, that's the power of God for those who believe. Okay, and so here the question is, so again, does God work? Does God give you his Spirit, okay, and work miracles among you? Who's doing the work again? It's not us. It's God that does the work. The pressure's off you and I. We just simply have to believe. And all he's helping us is freeing us from all the disappointments of us praying for the sick and nothing's happened. It's from all the disappointments from asking God for miracles, for provision, whatever the case may be over there, and it's not happening. And it's just taking back to that simple truth of how the Holy Spirit whatever he has persuaded us. So if it's a truth about provision, simply believe. And we see the miracles. God is working. It is God who works by his Spirit. And we start to see their grace. We start to see the miraculous. We start to see the hand of God, the evidence of God involved in our lives in the area of provision. Or if it's in the area of sickness, our Father will speak to you and I, and he will fully persuade us that his Son, that's why many times we don't have the faith to believe for healing because we haven't been persuaded yet. And so we want to use a formula in the name of Jesus, but we have not yet been persuaded by God himself that he is able to do that. And we then need to just be real and say, I don't have the faith for that, because I haven't been fully persuaded by God. I've got a lot of doubt. Rather spend the time and say, Lord, that's why disciples say, help my unbelief, you know. And so rather spend the time and say, Father, share with me. I need to be persuaded that you are able to bring healing. And then once you are persuaded, you simply believe God. Then you can ask in the name of Jesus, and Jesus will do everything that we ask the Father, so that the Father is glorified in him. So when we, in his name, the Father is glorified in his Son, Jesus. And that's how he's working. So he's setting us free from our own human efforts and trying to perform the miraculous. And so Jesus, again, in John 17, is showing us how he lived and how the miraculous worked in his life. You and I as children of God, exact same, no difference, nothing more, nothing less. It's a reality of being in him and having the Holy Spirit in us, the Spirit of sonship. And so he carries on there. So again, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by works of the law or by believing what you heard? Whatever the Father has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, whatever the promise, whatever he's spoken about your situation, my situation, our situation, and we have that divine faith, that persuasion by God, and we know that what he has spoken is absolute truth. There's a confidence that's in us. There's a foundation. We can now live our lives based on what our Father has shared because we are so persuaded by him. There's grace in that. It's Christ is the author and perfecter. So now he's working in that faith that we have received. When we now step out in the name of Jesus, when we now begin to speak to our Father about that, then we simply believe and we respond in whatever that faith response may be, we will find there all of a sudden we start to see the evidence. We start to see the involvement of God bringing glory to, you know, in his Son Jesus. He's been glorified over there, but also in our lives as we experience that over there. And a good example of this is that one in Acts chapter 3. Remember when there's that lame man, and in verse 6, Acts chapter 3, verse 6, and Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. You see, whatever we do, whatever we say, we do it in the name of Jesus. Guys, I just know that God is bringing in this faith explosion, this power explosion, this love explosion, this truth explosion. It's just an incredible awakening now for us to step into a total confidence in the name of Jesus. And no matter how many times we're going to be stepping up by faith as the Holy Spirit persuades us at whatever that truth may be, you remember, we step out there and you may not see the evidence and you may start to say it's not going to work, it's not working. No, that's where the faith, the establishment of the faith comes in, because now it's not about I did this and now it's not working because the focus is on your work. No, the faith goes, but Father, you at work over here. Jesus said that he will do what I ask in your name. So your focus is shifting back onto the promise of God, Okay. The promises we receive by faith. So the moment we start and we see things aren't working, we're going back into what have I done right? What have I done wrong? My effort over there. Rather get to the place of just, no, Father, thank you. I may not understand yet, but you're teaching me, but you're showing me more and more, and your reliance is on this promise that our Lord Jesus has made to you and I as children of God. Then he said, silver and gold I did not have, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And then he got up and he began to walk, and everybody was praising God. Why? Because now, in the name of Jesus, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man. You see, and so everybody was filled with wonder and amazement. And so here again, we see that the Father was glorified in his Son, Jesus Christ. Then we carry on, and then now they have to give an account to this over here. And there in verse 16, or let's go to verse 15. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this by faith, by being fully persuaded in the name of Jesus. This man whom you see and now was made strong, it is Jesus' name and the full persuasion that comes through him that is completely healed him, as you can all see. And here's an incredible example of that simple faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and having that confidence, knowing, Father, that whatever I'm asking, now your Holy Spirit led. Remember, sons are led, children are led by the Holy Spirit. The natural consequences of you and I just living daily in the conscious awareness of Holy Spirit, you're in me. I want to thank you for your life that's in me. I want to thank you for your life that's working in my soul, my mind, your life that's working in my whole being. I want to thank you, and you have received that, and you are getting established more and more in the life of the Holy Spirit within you. Holy Spirit, thank you that you make the Father real, you make the Son real. And it's by you that I know that I'm a child of God. All the time, the natural consequences we find there, we are being led by the Holy Spirit. More and more, you will have the mind of Christ becoming so real. The thoughts, your desires, and everything will start to more and more be so lined up with the ways of God. And so when we're asking God, when we're praying, more and more we are finding now that we are praying in the name of Jesus, because our desire, our motive for asking is not about self anymore. Our motive is, it's a genuine motive, is we want our Father to be glorified in his Son Jesus. One of the things that I know in our lives as believers, sometimes we battle in when people say nice things about us and they compliment us and that, and we say, you know, do I say, well, let's give praise to God, you know, glorify God and all that over there. And there is a very behind the scenes, deep within us, there's a desire to receive the glory. There's a desire to be named, to be mentioned down over there. But the freedom that this brings into our lives, when we're walking in the Spirit, that we become so free of that over there, because it's a genuine desire within us to see the Father glorified, and we are free from that human desire to be recognized. One has to live and experience the reality of that freedom, and that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the life of the Holy Spirit. And just being free of those things over there. And so by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can see. So I'm going to leave it over there. I see time is gone and I talk a lot. But I know he's doing that anyway, but we just receive, Father, we just receive just your incredible life within us, your incredible promises concerning your son Jesus and what he has done, and us as your children, to be able to live as your son. Your son said, Father, I've come to do your will. And it's the same in our lives. Father, we're here to do your will. You've worked in us. We have a genuine desire to see you glorified in your son, Jesus Christ. We have a genuine desire to see you glorified in the body of Christ. And so we want to thank you as you now help us to just step out and to simply believe what you have promised. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. And as we have the communion with you, Father, and with you, our Lord Jesus Christ, and with you, Holy Spirit, and just there in the heavenly realms with the whole reality of the heavenly host, just to eat together, to celebrate your incredible life, Jesus, what you have done for us. We want to celebrate that this morning as we have communion. We want to just rejoice that we participate not only in your death, but also in your glory. We participate in your glory, and we want to thank you for that, and we just honor you. Amen. Amen. Yeah, guys, if you want to just have communion, you're welcome to have that now.